This is Orbital to Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, an astrologer and a witch.
And I'm Veda. I'm really just here to ask stupid questions.
How are you?
I'm good.
I already asked you that, but that was before we were recording.
That was before recording. I don't have anything interesting to say that warrants recording for that, but, you know.
That's fair. Me neither. So do you just want to dive in? Do you have questions prepared?
I do have questions prepared. So it's a little bit different because I'm going to start with not questions, but like topics.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So the first one, I thought of this last time and then I was like, no, we should have a whole conversation about this because okay. I realized that like you and I both use Bacitus.
Yes.
But whole sign's really popular. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we should just talk about like why some people use this, why some people use that, and why we have the same kind of autism that is like, I don't understand.
Yeah, so whole sign houses is really popular because ancient astrology, Hellenistic astrology is really popular, and that's what they used.
Yeah.
2000-ish years ago.
What did they know? Lots.
I mean, no, I get it. And it's also, it's great for beginners because it takes a lot of the complications out because it's so, okay, let me backtrack and explain the difference. First, okay, so whole sign houses is a house system where you divide a chart into houses by using the beginning of the sign that the ascendant is in as the beginning of the first house. And then that entire sign that the ascendant is in, it becomes the first house. And then the sign after that becomes the second house, and the sign after that becomes the entire third house, and so on and so on. So you have 12 houses that are the exact same size. Every house is one exact sign. It makes it relatively simple to work with houses because, like I said, you take a lot of the complications out of it. And I see why people use it. It's valid. I don't have anything against people using that. That would be stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it does work.
It works. Yeah. I've tried it with my own chart. It does make a few things different because some things, you know, switch houses and it changes things around and blah. But it still works. It's like a different perspective on a chart. And sometimes I like playing around with it and using it just to see what is different and what different kind of interpretations. You don't.
No, I don't like it. But
why do you not like it?
Okay. So I don't like it because it's like, so I feel this is fully my autism speaking now, yeah. Right? Because I feel like when you look at a chart in Placidus, mm-hmm. right, you're like, oh, look at all of this precise information that I have, right? Mm-hmm. That like has all of this nuance and like whatever, just more information. Like my autism brain goes, more information. I like more information. More information is good. Mm-hmm. Even if it's so much information as to be overwhelming, I'm still like, great, good, give it to me.
Yeah.
And then I feel like So I got really used to looking at that, right? And so then now if I look at whole sign, I'm like, oh, so we just took the extra information and just went, well, fuck off with you then. It doesn't make sense to me to be like, I don't like this much information. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I do know that whole sign works and I understand like it's easier to like work with and blah, blah, blah. But like my autistic brain is just like, get out of here. Like, I don't want
to. I mean, valid. Yeah. So that's the big difference. Placidus is a different house system where, and it's a little closer to what the sky actually looks like. So sometimes a certain sign or a certain house will take up more space than another house. And that can already tell you something about that person if a certain house is smaller or a lot bigger. And then also you can have houses that have just half of a sign and the other half of the sign is in the next house over. You can have houses that are big enough that they contain three signs.
Yeah, I think Frenzy's got one of those. I think it's like, I can't remember what it's in. I think it's one of his bottom houses that
I think it's the first.
It's not the
first. Is it not the first?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I thought that it was like fourth or something. Anyways, he's got something.
But yeah. And then that says something about the person, right? Yeah. If they have a certain house that is just big and contains three signs.
Yeah.
You know, that tells us something. So I like that. I like to make things more complicated because I am also autistic. and also
people that use whole sign too. Just like the whatever brand of autism you have. So it's just whatever like brand of autism.
Absolutely.
I don't know what neurotypical astrologers, how they base their
information. Hey, I don't think there are neurotypical astrologers.
There probably are. At least we not, just didn't know them.
Not in the spaces where I frequent in. I think all the astrologers I know of are...
Yeah, but like all of the people
pretty neurodivergent
are neurodivergent.
Yeah, I think like astrology is one of those subjects that like when you're autistic and you have special interests.
Yeah.
Astrology is a good one because you can never not learn more about astrology. There's always more information, more stuff to learn about it. So there's no one in the world that knows everything about astrology because you're always learning.
Yeah.
So it's very good for the autistic people.
It's funny. Like, so it's not really a special, I wouldn't say that it's a special interest of mine. I would say that like, I like it, but because I know how complicated it is, I do not even try. I just kind of go, I'll remember what I'm going to remember, and I will absolutely forget whatever I don't, and that's good enough for me.
It's definitely my special interest, and you support my special interest by asking me questions and then letting me ramble about my special interests.
Yeah, well, we're really symbiotic, and so I think, like, our special interests really dovetail nicely.
Yeah, they do. They do. That's true.
Well, one of the reasons that I feel so strongly about Placidus, I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But one of the, because I didn't notice this until, like, way after I already felt strongly about this, so whatever. But, one of the things that was like, oh, that's a really good example, as soon as I noticed it, is, okay, so I have an Aries sun up until, you know, I'm a queer person, so I've had lots of women tell me, like, what I'm supposed to be like based on the fact that I'm an Aries sun. And like, the majority of my life, I was just kind of like, I don't super jive with a bunch of that, right? And then you got really into astrology. And I think also another astrologer that I had spoken to had also was like, oh, well, that's because you have heavy Libra placements and blah, blah, blah. We had that whole conversation. But you and I were talking one time about how a lot of the Libra placements or a lot of the Libra things, attributes, really super make sense to me, for me.
Yeah.
But some of
and
them
you don't. Are, and you are a Libra rising and a Libra moon.
Yeah.
With your Aries sun. So yeah.
Yes.
Heavy and important Libra placements.
Right. But some of the Libra placements that always come up are just are not. Like the one that I always think is really funny is like anything that's like Libra people pleasing, I'm just like, I give a fuck. I like myself really well. You don't have to. I don't give a fuck if you like me or not, because I like me fine enough. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't have like a lick of that. Mm-hmm. And also I think the topic that we were kind of talking about that. This was ages ago, so I don't know if you remember this conversation, but so we were kind of talking about that. But we were also talking about how I'm really an open book until I think that you're like being a bit shitty with like the information that I give you, and then I'm petty as fuck and will tell you nothing, right?
Yeah.
And you were like, well, I think you have a bit of Scorpio in your first house, and we looked it up and I did, and it made so much sense for all the things where every Libra thing that is like canceled out is because
a
bit of Scorpio in it.
And
I had never really looked at it. And I was like, that's a really good example of why I feel super strongly about Placidus, because in whole sign, that's not a thing.
Scorpio would be your second house.
Right. So, but that's why my brain's just like, we need that extra information. Like, that's important.
Yeah, I agree. But like, if you're a beginner astrologer and you want to try to make things a little more simple, then that's what I at the very, very beginning. That's how I learned astrology. I used whole sign houses because it just takes some complications out of the way, and it makes it easier to learn. And then you can add more complications as you go along, which is what I am doing.
Yeah, and then there's
constantly nonstop adding complications.
There's nonstop complications on the way, so that's totally fine.
And I also like Placidus because it feels more sciencey, which some people might think is weird to say when we're talking about astrology, but even though I am an astrologer and I'm a witch, I'm still a big fan of science.
Yeah, same.
I still want to figure out like how is this working and why is this working, and Placidus in that case just makes more sense because it's what the sky actually looks like.
Yeah,
and right, and like that's where the houses actually are, and like not and the signs, and not going like, okay, so this is the beginning of a sign, so I'm just gonna add the next couple of houses onto that, and then ending up where they are not actually in the sky. Am I making sense?
Okay,
good.
And like I just literally can't make the other one make sense.
Yeah, that's valid. I mean, there's plenty of more, like all in all, there's like if you Google that kind of stuff, there's so many house systems that you can use, and it's fun to play around. And if you start doing astrology and one house system for some reason doesn't make sense, to just switch it around, play around with the house systems. I did that until I basically settled on Placidus, although I still sometimes play around with house systems, like I said, just because it's fun to see like what the differences are. And you know,
I know good astrologers that use full signs, so I'm definitely not saying Like, me too. Because my brain can't make sense of it means I am right and everybody else. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. Like, Michael does, Michael does, I think he does full sign. I'm pretty sure he does. You know, and he's,
I mean, the big, astrologer podcaster, that I learned a lot from and who is the only astrologer besides Demetra George whose name I can remember is Chris Brennan, and Chris Brennan also uses whole sign houses.
Sure.
And a lot of the astrology I do today I learned from him. I just then apply it to Placidus.
Sure.
Which works. It still works. So
I'm pretty sure Crystalline also. It's
just, Crystalline is another
them as well. Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
And I've liked the readings that I've gotten from them. I've gotten a few readings from them, or have I gotten a few official readings? I've gotten at least one reading from them, but I've had several like astrology like conversations with them about
Perks of hiring astrologers and then becoming friends with them.
Yeah, I've just been in like a few different spaces with them. So and they used to do some lives on TikTok. They moved it over to YouTube, and I'm just not a YouTube person. So I think they still do them,
but which is ironic because this is gonna be on YouTube.
It'll probably be a couple of places, I would assume. But
Is that subject covered, or did you have more?
I think so. I just basically wanted to like bring it up because we had just barreled right into like using a bunch of it, and like even though this isn't like a teaching podcast by any, I was like, oh, we should talk about that at some point. So now we have.
That makes sense. Okay, what's the next?
The next thing is also a topic, and then the one after that.
Okay.
So the next topic I think is really funny because all of the wherever you're getting your like social media fix, for me that's only TikTok. I've just been slowly like just getting rid of all social media until I was like, oh, I only have TikTok and I will only be on it for this tiny amount of time a day. But no matter where you get your social media stuff from, there's always going to be like clickbaity astrology, whatever transit is going on. It'll be like, everybody who has a Libra moon at this time is going to, get struck by lightning and...
that would be bad.
Fucking whatever, right? Like whatever weird, like all of your exes from 3 years ago are gonna message you and you're gonna win the lottery. Like whatever it is. They've always got like some weird shit that like everybody with this placement's gonna be. Which is obviously bullshit, right? Like it's obviously like not gonna work. And so I just thought we should talk about why none of the scary clickbait astrology shite like means anything.
I mean, this is a pet peeve of mine, so thank you for giving me permission to
thanksies I fucking
to rant. So I'm similar. I'm also like the only social media I still use is TikTok, and I use it more than I should. I should probably also limit my time on TikTok. So I can only really speak to the stuff that is on there, but I'm sure stuff on other social media is similar.
Well, I think if you're going to be on Instagram Reels, it's just TikToks from 3 months ago.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. I used to get somewhat angry about the stuff that would come up. Up on my timeline, but I feel like I've eradicated it. Like I taught my timeline that I don't want to see that stuff because I don't really see it anymore. But yeah, a lot of this, like, I know the ones that are fun, that are like more in the now my brain just left the building. Okay. I like the ones that are sort of more like sketches, where it's like poking fun of like your ex-boyfriends or something like that, right? They are fun and no one actually does take them seriously. At least I would hope not.
You'd be fucking surprised. So. Okay, really, just here's like a really just quick sideline. Mm-hmm. So back when I was still like doing tarot professionally for people, mm-hmm. You would be surprised how many people would like open with, well, I know that I have an ex coming back because I keep my, my algorithm keeps showing me like those collective tarot readings or that astrology thing or what. So people do, like, those are popular for a reason, because the people that really want that bullshit to be true will really fucking buy into it. And then also, my caveat, this is not what I said to my clients. I was much nicer, blah, blah, blah. But like internally, I was always thinking, babe, if you need a tarot reading to know if this person loves you or whatever, break up with them.
Yeah.
That's like, you don't, like, if that's a good partner for you, you don't need a tarot reading or an astrology reading to tell you so. Right.
No.
Like, so anyways, that's,
yeah. Yeah, I could also go on a rant about collective tarot readings on TikTok. I'm not gonna right now. but yeah, so social media is made to keep things really short.
Yeah.
And astrology is a hugely complicated thing. Sure. Yes, you can break certain parts down and try to make them really short, but there's always the caveat of, but there's always more. This is just breaking it down to the basics. So when you try to explain a transit or something in a TikTok video that is like 3 minutes tops, or even if it's 10 minutes tops, the only thing you can give is like generic information that is going to fit, that is either going to fit on 10,000s of people all at the same time.
Yeah.
Or that is going to be so concise that it's going to fit no one.
Sure.
Basically.
Because also, like, you can't make one transit mean one thing for everybody, because you have all the other things that are going on with your
exactly.
chart.
Exactly. Which would be my next point. Yeah. Like, transit. Yes, obviously, there's, like an overview of what a transit in general would mean. But if you want to know what a transit means for you personally, you have to see your chart, and you have to see where that transit is happening in your chart, which other planets or houses or whatever of your chart are interacting with that transit. So it's going to be extremely personal for every single person out there. You cannot make a TikTok video about that. You can make a TikTok video about, this is the general energy of this transit.
Right.
But then with the added information to know more, you should ask an astrologer, or if you have any kind of knowledge about astrology yourself, you need to check your own chart to know. Like, just because Venus is transiting, which she is about, Venus is going retrograde, which she is about to do soon-ish, I think. doesn't mean that for every single person on planet Earth, all their exes are going to show up in their lives again. That's not how that works. That's not how any of this works. So,
yeah,
it depends on where is Venus retrograding in your chart? Which house is she in? Yeah. How is she placed in your natal chart? Where is she there? What aspects does your natal Venus have? What aspects does transiting Venus have to your natal chart?
Right.
And that is always going to be unique. All our charts are unique.
Yeah.
There are more astrological birth charts or possibilities of astrological birth charts than human beings have existed ever in the entire time planet Earth has existed and has had human beings walking on it. Right?
Sure.
So it's always going to be unique, and no TikTok astrologer or Instagram astrologer or Facebook astrologer is going to tell you that.
Sure. I think it's also funny, like, okay, so we're in Mercury retrograde right now, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody loves to be like, oh my God, it's Mercury retrograde. So this and that is going to happen, right? And I like to like, I was going to say I like to look at it and think, but I don't, I just ask you. But like this time particularly, because I had just done that huge project that I was not physically capable of doing. And I was just so exhausted. And I still am, but I think it was like I think it went retrograde like the day after I finished. And so like, I still basically wasn't eating. I was just a total wreck. And I messaged you and I was just like, yeah, gonna need you to look at my chart and tell me what Mercury retrograde is going to do, because I literally can't handle it pulling any kind of bullshit. And you were like, yeah, it's not like there wasn't really even, I can't remember exactly what you told me, but I remember like, you know, there was, you weren't, it wasn't even like, it's going to make you lose data or like whatever, like the common.
Yeah. No,
you were just like, you might hear from somebody that like is annoying. Like I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was,
I
just
also don't remember.
So low-key.
But so here's a great example for Mercury retrograde. So Mercury retrograde, it's really popular right now and has been for a while to freak out about it in social media.
Sure.
Here's why that's a bit nonsensical. I have Mercury retrograde in my natal chart. So for me personally, I've never been affected in any kind of negative way by Mercury retrograde, as people say on social media. Like, I don't have technology crashes. I have brain farts, but I have them all the time, not just during Mercury retrograde. So, like, that's not how it works. So I feel pretty chill during Mercury retrograde. I usually don't notice that it's Mercury retrograde. The only reason I notice it is because some people that have certain placements in their chart, or that have Mercury transiting through certain placements in their chart, are equally frazzle-brained as I am during that time. And that makes me then go, oh, Mercury is probably retrograde. Because I noticed that. But but again, that is a very personal thing. And that is only for a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you were like, please check my chart, and I checked your chart and I checked where Mercury was retrograding, I think it was most of the things were just like, yeah, you're probably gonna be a little more introverted and you're probably not gonna have a lot of energy to have huge discussions about whatever And you might not
make sense seeing as I was like physically totally fucking laid out.
Exactly. And like, and I think it was also stuff about like writing. I remember saying something about that, that you were probably not going to do a lot more writing during that time. And then, but that's not scary. That's fine. People can take a break.
Even that is kind of interesting because I would say that's true in the way that I'm not like writing new words, but like I'm tightening up like plannings and re-outlining some things, which Mercury retrograde can be really good for.
Exactly.
And also just a habit that I'm in with my journaling, and I don't even really know why, because this is maybe the only time I've ever used it to be like, oh, but like when I write down like the date, I also check what the moon phase is and like write that down. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this like, so I'm 90% of the way through a rough draft for a very complicated book about deities grieving, basically. Mm-hmm. about goddesses and grief, and it's very queer and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And I realized that like I'd done 90% and I knew what the last 7% was, but I was having a hard time doing the 3% to get from the 90% to the last 10% done. And I had realized a while back that that's because I needed to do like a full rewrite with adding characters and like blah blah blah. So all of this to say is I've been doing this like massive re-outlining and just like whatever, so that I can do that, like planning stuff to in order to do that. And so I was just finishing the most complicated part of that yesterday and today. And I realized that each day when I wrote down the date and the moon, like the moon's in Virgo, and I was like, that makes sense. Because I'm also like color coded. Yep. So I have them right here. I have highlighted.
Oh, that looks pretty. Colors.
So the moon's in Virgo.
Yes.
Anyway.
But that is also very Mercury retrograde stuff. So Mercury governs communication. Mercury is Hermes. For those who know about Greek mythology, Hermes is the big communicator, the messenger god.
That also makes sense because Hermes is kind of in my book.
Mm-hmm.
He does the footnotes of my book.
Basically.
Yeah. Information about like how he's going to respond to each of them.
Yeah, see, so and Mercury growing, so whenever a planet goes retrograde, which is another thing people freak out, because for some reason people think that's a bad thing or like evil things. That's not what that is. A planet going retrograde just means that we internalize things more, and sometimes we have to revisit stuff that we've done before or that has happened to us before. Another example is Chiron is also about to go retrograde next week, I think. So Chiron is the asteroid of healing. So we will revisit. That is, again, the general energy. It really depends on where it is in your chart. But the general energy of Chiron going retrograde is revisiting old traumas. Have I actually healed from that? Or does it pop up again? Do I need to do a little bit more tweaking there?
Yeah.
It's not to do with new trauma showing up or a new healing journey. It's all about the old stuff. And then Mercury as the great messenger god, the communicator, of course you're going to revisit the stuff that you have written before. You're not gonna write new stuff. You're gonna go back and go like, oh, I have some work to do on the stuff that I've already written. But see, not scary at all. Is that scary?
No. Well, also like when you're talking about Chiron going retrograde and like, oh, like revisiting old traumas, and that's not necessarily like a new healing thing. Like sometimes that's just like realizing, oh, this thing that I do all the time, that's because that's a result of this old past trauma.
Yes, exactly. Like,
sometimes yeah. just even be that. So
yeah, yeah, it can be ridiculously simple things that if you don't pay attention to them will just go by unnoticed. So yeah. Yeah, retrogrades are nothing to freak out about. And all transits, all in all, going back to the actual topic of social media astrology. Yeah, I mean, if you like watching those, go for it, have fun with it, but always take social media astrology with a grain of salt. She said, having her own astrology TikTok that I need to start posting to again. But like,
you don't do that.
Yeah. So I think I pretty much always say that this is the general energy of this.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about it, have to check with an astrologer or learn astrology yourself and check your actual chart. Because it's fun. There's fun stuff too. Like I don't wanna like just shit on all of it. Like there's some good astrologers on social media that do great content and that explain astrology in a way that is easy to understand, that is really interesting, that I like to watch. I enjoy that shit. So
yeah,
that made it sound like I was like, even I, who knows literally every single thing there is to know about. No, that's not what I meant. But like, I also enjoy that, even though I just spend literally 15 minutes or something like that ranting about it, I also watch it. So
there's such a thing as collective energy. It's just being able to like look at something and being like, just because this is the collective energy doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to manifest in my life in the way that it's coming up, or just because it's in the collective energy, I can say that's definitely not going to come up for me. Mm-hmm. Like you just have to have more information.
Exactly. And also a thing I'm sure I've said before, astrology is not, we're not making actual factual predictions of the future.
Sure.
We can always only show potentials and energies, and like that doesn't mean that this thing is going to happen for sure because astrology said it would. No, there's a possibility of this happen. There's also always the possibility that it manifests in a completely different way because I am only human. I and no other astrologer could ever see the entire possibility of a certain transit or whatever and how that can manifest in a person's life. That's not possible.
At the same time, there was I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was like one of the transits where, you know, people from your past like pop back in. Mm-hmm. And I had seen that go by on TikTok and I didn't really think much of it. And then in the space of 24 hours, like I did hear from like three different people. And one of them was really funny because one of them was the person who like was my best friend when I moved away from America, but I moved away from America a really long time ago and her and I were like really close and like blah, blah, blah. But she's really hard to get a hold of just because of her like neurodivergence. Mm-hmm. And so she's never been on social media, like blah, 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 like all of these things. And I just like, I heard from her randomly out of the blue. She like sent me a WhatsApp message and it was like, oh, really want to talk to you about this, that, and the other and da, 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 da. And it'd been like years since I talked to her. So I was like, oh yeah, good to hear from you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I wrote her back. And then she blocked me. I was like, oh.
Rude?
So it's like the other two were like totally normal. Like that was just like a really weird thing. But I was like, that's got to be about astrology. And I was like, the other two were just people that I grew up with or whatever.
See, that's the other thing.
All so it things, can go both ways.
Yes, all the things I said are correct. I'm not taking them back. But also there's the other instances where astrology is freakishly on point. And just, so, you never know.
Yeah.
Which is why it's fun, in my humble opinion. Not so humble.
You just kind of have to, like, laugh at it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what we're doing with this podcast.
Is kind of the entire point of this podcast, is A, anything too seriously.
Yeah.
And B, making fun of all of it.
Yes.
Yes. With respect.
Yes. So. Okay.
Fantastic. So my next one. Mm-hmm. Question, and it is based on my own personal chart, but I think that you will like this one.
Okay.
Because it encompasses a lot of like identity stuff and sex stuff, like whatever.
I like sex stuff.
I know.
Please do not take out of context.
So, I mean, I think that you mean that the way that it sounds.
So. I mean, sort of, yeah.
anyway, let's just entendre all the entendres.
Okay.
So, my question is, we've talked about before, I think we've even talked about on this podcast before, that like I have been out as bisexual for like since the dawn of time. And then I tried to come out as lesbian in high school, and then again a few years later, and then most recently, like a few years ago. So it's not like that was like out with my brain. I just ended up I've had relationships with women, but most of my relationships have been with men, and that's for lots of irritating reasons that I don't necessarily have anything to do with my actual sexuality. Okay, so that's the background, just to have everybody coming at the same time. That was a weird way to put that. Anyhow, while pondering all the entendres, that was a very weird way for me to put that.
I mean, I'm gonna leave that in. Sure. That was funny.
I would assume. So I feel like Chris just laughing. Right. Anyway. Okay. So this last time that I came out, I was just like, oh, listen, I'm old now. We're not dicking around literally anymore. Like, we're just going to stop with that. But at the same time, I'm glad I broke you. That's great. That's my favorite. But I also like did that at a time where like I'm really disabled and I'm very tired. Like I don't really have the energy to like be out dating. I don't even have like I very hugely need like in-person like queer community, and I don't have the energy to even do that, like that, and not to even just like make friends, like not even try to date. Which has like made me go back and forth, like do I lean ace at this point, like towards eight being an ace lesbian, or am I just really disabled and tired? And so I thought, let's look at my chart and see.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, I'm still going to, like, no matter what the answer is, I'm probably still going to be too tired for a while. But we might as well have a scholastic chat about it.
Yeah. I'm thinking. So, okay, two things. First thing is I'm going to pull up your chart and just look at your chart again. Okay. Like, although I already kind of know what I'm gonna See in there. Okay. Because I know your chart pretty much by heart by now.
Yeah. I haven't asked you this before, have I?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I didn't think so
either. No, not that I
remember. You're just saying because I remember my chart.
I remember your chart. Yeah. And like, I already have like placements where it's like, this is this. And like, so, okay. So for example, I can prove that, right? So I know that you have a Vesta and Venus conjunction in, I believe it's your eighth house.
It's
somewhere up there. And that is not asexual. That is quite interested in the sexy times. So
my favorite job ever was being a dominator. So
yeah, and like eighth house is about all the taboo things. So so in Hellenistic astrology, because we talked about that before, eighth house is basically your partner's resources, like this, because it's opposite the second house, which is your personal resources. It's also like inheritance and stuff like that. In modern astrology, it's also things like death and kink and stuff like that. So having literally Venus and Vesta in your eighth house of kink, that is not asexual, babe. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But
I've got a long history of kink, although I did see a video. I saw somebody else's video talking about this, and I thought it was very interesting that we're like, am I kinky, or what did I just need to be kinky in order to have sex with men and male presenting people that I was not interested in having sex with?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, good question.
Yeah. Okay, so this is for those who are watching the actual video. I was right. There is this nice Venus Vesta conjunction in the eighth house, in Taurus, nonetheless. Taurus is a very sensual sign. So, although, like, Tauruses certainly can also be asexual, like, I'm not saying that all Tauruses are sex maniacs, but yeah, it's a very sensual sign, literally meaning it loves all the senses. And so does Venus, and Venus is at home in Taurus. So that's not screaming asexuality at me. That's screaming that's screaming you are interested in that, specifically with women and everything to do with it, and it doesn't have to be kink, but with like sensuality with a woman that can also be, or a female presenting person that can also be like having a nice dinner, and that just being sort of erotic.
Sure.
Right. So yeah, that's a big, and also like you have your son in your seventh house, which is the house of relationships and like love and romance. And I know you're not particularly romantic, but maybe actually you are with the right person.
Okay.
We did that
transition with like past life me or whatever, and she just would not even listen to me saying that I wasn't romantic. She's like, no, we're very romantic. And I was like, I'm not romantic at all. She's like, I know we are. So
maybe it just takes the right person.
Maybe
for you to bring that
so part far in. I have not been particularly romantic
historic. Yeah, and I mean that's valid. Again, astrology doesn't tell you who you are, it just tells you what kind of potentials you have and stuff.
Sure.
So but it is interesting that your son is in your seventh house and you say that you're not romantic at all. That is interesting.
Yeah. I have also, like, historically kind of had relationships with people that maybe should have been in different kinds of relationships with.
So. Yeah. And that also weren't particularly romantic, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my past is kind of buried in the way that, like, there's men that I've had relationships with that, like, I'm really glad that I had that relationship and I would never want to do it again. Right. Yeah. So, like, Frenzy's a really good example of that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so thankful that I had a relationship with him because he is my family and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I can't even remember what that must have been like because it was like 14 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. Like, probably not that long ago, but like pretty close, like coming up on that amount of time. And like, so he's just always been my flatmate since then. And like, mm-hmm. he's my next of kin and like, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm glad that we did that, but I could not in my brain, like ever look at him and like, imagine what it would be like to have like a romantic connection to him again. But I think that like, I truly did, like when we were together, I think we're, this is why I had asked you the other day, like, was I bisexual and then my energy just ran out for them? Because I do have men that I've had relationships like with that, but I've also have a lot of men in my past where I'm just like, oh, I was just trying really hard to like fit into this whole like compet thing that like didn't do me any favors, which is stupid because like I knew that I was bisexual and I would have also relationships with women, but I would let, anyways, I'm just off into the weeds of my romantic past, but like that's why I'm asking this.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. We're looking at the aspects now that that particular conjunction makes in your chart. This square to Mars, the North Node, and Jupiter over in your 11th house. Mm-hmm. It could explain the asexual feelings because Mars is, among other things, passion and like, and sex. Sexual, all the sexy things, right?
Yeah.
So that being in a square is like, do I want to do that? Am I really interested in the actual sex part of it, or am I just interested in all the other sensual things that I can share with someone I love?
Right. And this is natal chart stuff too. So this isn't even just like a transit. That's
we're still. So a transit would be the next thing I would also want to look at if you can somewhat pinpoint a time when that started. But like this is already, like it makes sense that you're at least questioning that.
Because this is showing something where like this is like a pattern that will come up over and over again, right?
Yes.
Just, I don't know, man. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then also there's this trine to the black moon in your 12th house.
Uh-huh. So it's like, hey, definitely have sex with people with female rage. With
and also kink is again
right,
that's Black Moon Lilith stuff, right? So it's like both of these are like influencing this very gay, very sensual, very interested in female presenting people.
I do super have like a very sexy soft spot for an angry feminine rage person of any, like fuck turfs, like, you know, this, not just women are this stupid binary, like, not that, but anybody that's got like strong feminine rage, I'm like, okay.
Yes.
Hard eyes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. So, but that can also be confusing, because do you have hard eyes because you want to fuck them? Or do you have hard eyes because, you know, you love that vibe and you want that energy in your life and you want to spend time around that and you want to...
Both. So...
Why not both? Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, but yeah, that makes sense that you would question all of that. Can you pinpoint a certain time when, or like at least somewhat pinpoint?
Sure.
Okay. Just to explain, because we don't have obviously like an exact time and date when this was the minute I realized I'm actually really a lesbian. I'm going to look more at the outer planets and their transits in your chart because they are slow moving.
Yeah.
So it
also, the difference between when I like thought it in my head and when I like bothered to like let other people in on it would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, let's see. I mean, first thing I'm noticing is that exactly 2 years ago, Saturn was retrograde.
Okay.
Which is a time when we will, again, in general, revisit, like, past limitations that we might have put on ourselves, or like past restrictions or anything like that, or even internal limitations and restrictions that we've put on ourselves, and revisit them and think them over and possibly overthrow them.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, that transiting Saturn has an opposition to your Mars situation up there in your 11th house.
Okay.
So that might have been somewhat of a catalyst for you to go like, where am I on the spectrum?
Yeah. You know,
on the asexual spectrum, am I on it at all? And if so, where am I on that? So that is interesting. Neptune is also doing a retrograde right here, which is also interesting. And all of those would have lasted for several months, right? So this is a long period of stuff happening in your chart. Neptune is more to do with like spirituality and dreams and also illusions, though. So that also might have been like, at least a tiny little bit, if you were like, maybe I have been under the illusion of being a really sexual, a really kinky, a really bisexual person.
Yeah. I mean, right? I had to end the relationship with a man by being like, by the way, just fully lesbian now. Like,
oopsie.
So,
never mind.
Basically.
Thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, this is, Neptune is more complex than that and would have done more than just that in your chart, but also he's transiting in your sixth house, which is like everyday life. So, it makes sense that stuff about your relationship would come up with that and all the stuff, whereas Saturn is actually transiting, like doing that retrograde in your fifth house, and fifth house is about fun sex. So, I think I explained that in some episode before. Like, there are several houses that I look at when it comes to sexy times, And the fifth house is like the kind of sex that we have just to have fun. It's just a casual sex, one night stands, affairs, stuff like that is in the fifth house. So it makes sense that you would have questioned all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the two big things that I would look at transit wise. But then again, those are like the catalyst of a thing that is already there. So it's already in your chart that you question those things. You wouldn't necessarily need those transits for it. But sometimes transits are just the starting point of something. They trigger something that's already there in our chart. Because not all the things that are in our chart take action immediately at the time of our birth, right? Things happen throughout our lives, and some things happen later in life, and those get triggered often by transits. So
I mean, but also this is not like it was new. Like the first time I was like, hey, probably a lesbian, I was like 14, right? But it was also 1994, and that wasn't going over that well.
I mean, you know, just for the fun of it, let's see what Saturn was doing in 1994.
Okay.
Oh, that was too far. because I'm going to laugh so hard if Saturn was also retrograde.
All of my outer planets are retrograde in my natal chart as well. So I don't know. Ours for this particularly.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have been in Glasgow back then, but that doesn't super matter for the outer planets right now. So I'm just going to leave that. I cannot find. Oh, look where Saturn is and what Saturn is doing.
Okay. Right.
Saturn is literally in your fifth house retrograde.
Yeah.
Okay. During that time. So
slow that is funny. For little baby lesbian me in 1994. I really gave it a go, and it was really a pain in the ass to get people to just fucking listen to you in 1994. Yeah. Even if you're like a little rag girl, it just didn't matter. Yeah. You closed it, but I was going to ask.
Sorry. I can open it again.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you can see when I'm going to like, so now that you're like, okay, not asexual, just disabled and tired. Can we tell when I'm going to be like less tired?
Sure. Let's go back to now.
Okay.
And it always does this. It also goes back to now in Bremen. In Germany. Do not live where I live. Live in Scotland. I mean, it doesn't super matter because it's not super far away, but still, let's be accurate. Okay. So, right now, obviously, I'm going to check Saturn again.
Mm-hmm.
He is right here in your sixth house, also retrograding. Let's see when that actually stops. I have this handy dandy event navigator in this app. So Saturn goes direct on November
28th. Okay.
This is not to say that, on that day, you're going to be super sexy again. Sure. You are sexy.
Slightly less tired.
Yes. Because you're Saturn, obviously, like that's what Saturn, among other things, does for you is make you question things. Mm. So towards the end of the year, you might become more secure in your identity. It doesn't mean that you'll be like, you'll go out and have the energy to actually start dating. But that's the time when you might go, I actually am interested in dating and having sex with other people, or I'm not interested, or I want to be dating, but I don't want to be having sex or anything like that. Right.
Okay. Well, we'll reconvene.
Yeah. And as for the tired, I mean, that could also be a Saturn thing because he's moving through your sixth house right now. And sixth house is like to do with physical health too. And also everyday stuff. So that being retrograde in your sixth house, that makes sense that you're like taking a step back. And also falling back into like a flare up of health, physical health issues.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to be disabled when Saturn's not there.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes, exactly. But
I definitely have like different levels of energy within the way that I am particularly disabled. Yeah.
So the flare up that you're having might get a little better by then.
Sure.
And that would give you a little more energy. Possibly. Also, Saturn is not super far anymore from crossing over into your seventh house, which then also might ease things up even more, because then Saturn is not putting limitations and restrictions on your physical health anymore. Saturn will then move on to relationship stuff, and that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah, so but that doesn't sound like that necessarily is gonna be more fun with dating if Saturn, the planet of restrictions, is in with relationships.
It depends. I mean, you could also look at it like this. Saturn is gonna put restrictions on the relationships that you used to have because you used to fall into this narrative somewhat that you need to be like sort of heterosexual, even though you weren't, obviously, but like straight relationships.
Yeah.
So Saturn might go like, we're going to put a limit on that. And that is actually where a restriction would be nice, because you're like, I am now only interested in dating anyone that is not a cishet man.
Yeah.
Right? So, so that will be a good limitation for you. And that could literally be what Saturn does for you in your seventh house.
Fair. Yeah. Historically, I've had way more energy for cishet men than I have at all anywhere in my holding.
No more energy for cishet men.
So
yeah.
Anyway,
did that answer your question?
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. Awesome. Hopefully that was also interesting for not me type people.
I think so. Because also this is a subject that is not very studied is maybe a weird word to use when it comes to astrology, but like a lot of astrologers actually do quite a lot of study and try to at least show the actual correlations of, like, we're not saying these things because we're pulling it out of our arses, we're saying it because there's actual correlations and here they are, right? But gender and sexuality stuff is still not studied a lot, and only by very few, if at all. So I do think that this is an interesting topic.
That's good. I also, like, another reason that I asked it in this like forum instead of just all of the questions that I ask you is because I feel like, I mean, I'm really good with boundaries, but I don't necessarily like give a shit about people knowing like that sort of thing about me or whatever. But I do think that like a lot of times when people are asking their personal astrologers, whoever they're talking to about this stuff, they're not then like, and then put it on the internet so that other people can see. Whereas I'm like, that's fine. Another thing I was doing when I was 14 was I made a zine out of my diary and just handed it out to people. So like, I'm just not particularly like sneaky or whatever and that, or shy, I guess.
Professional oversharer.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Which is not a bad thing, I think, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, it's either interesting or it's not. And if it's not, then I guess you're not even listening anymore. And you've turned off this podcast because it's no longer interesting.
Yeah. So. But that is why I appreciate the friendship that we have, among other things.
It's good.
That you let me look at these types of things that, you know, are also hard to study because I would never go into a random person's chart and decide this is your gender, this is your sexuality, this is all the questions you have about these topics because I see it in your birth chart.
Yeah.
I would only ever look at that when someone asks me. So
that's good.
Thank you for asking. It gives me a chance to look at this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're not an asshole. Also, that's also nice.
I'm glad you're not an asshole either. That is how we tell each other we love each other.
Yes. And with that, I mean, I guess we're like, we've agreed that we're not assholes.
Yay!
Good day.
So that was it for this episode. I hope you liked it. If you liked it, leave us likes and stuff and follow us everywhere.
Oh yeah.
You're supposed to say that, right? So I'm trying to
something about rates and reviews. I don't know.
Yes, and leave us comments and stuff, but be nice in the comments. If you're being a douchebag, we're just gonna delete them anyway, so don't bother.
Oh yes. Really quickly, I recently made, I told you this, but this is just so people are aware. Like, I recently made some cishet men sad on the internet, which is fine with me. And, like, about 15 of them, like got online to, like, tell me about it. Uh-huh. In which case, like, my genuine reaction is, it's so funny that you think I care. And then I just deleted it. And then I sat there and just had this is on autism. I just sat there and I thought, I think they genuinely think that you care.
They do.
Some people must, like, that must, like, hurt some people's feelings. It does not hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. But I did like have a little moment with going like, oh.
But also, if you care about that stuff, cishet men on the internet get sad so easily. They are so emotional.
They're really emotional.
Like, I don't have time to care about that. I'm sorry. So yeah, you're just gonna get deleted and blocked. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sorry at all, to be quite honest. But,
but with that said, rate and review, say nice things.
We also have all the contact things probably somewhere in some. Can you tell that we are professionals?
We're definitely new.
Yeah. Do all the things. We love you. Bye.
See you next time.
Bye.